If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. We're still on the subject of drink, alcohol. Does Christian have the Christian liberty to drink alcohol in moderation? And we have dealt with that this morning. We'll not go back there, but we'll continue on with the message here in Proverbs chapter 20. Let's stand to our feet and we'll read Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 1, we gave you stats already and show forth how the world is crying out about we have a problem with alcohol. We talked about the stories of the Bible concerning alcohol. We talked about the scripture concerning alcohol. Now we'll talk about the saved concerning alcohol. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." We'll read that again. It's so short, but it has such a powerful message. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I know, Lord, that this is truth because it's of the Bible. Father, you wrote it. You believed it, Lord. And God, you commanded that we believed and trusted in it as well. We ask you now, open our eyes concerning this subject, dear God, of alcohol. And Lord, what does the Bible have to say in the whole context of the Scripture? Not just one Scripture, but the whole counsel of God. We need help tonight, this morning, dear God, this evening, because God, we're just people, Lord, who just fall and falter. God, we are easily led away and easy our flesh tonight, God. This evening, God, can be easily enticed and even tempted. And God, we ask you now, Lord, lead and guide us. In Christ's precious holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The saved this evening is always interested in the truth. Always. If you're born again and you know God is your Savior, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've been born again, you'll find that you're a child or the children of truth. You'll know that truth is what you desire. Truth is what you want. I would tell you as a Christian, you tell me as a Christian, all I need and all I want is truth. If you tell me truth, then that'll make me free, right? And so this evening, the truth of the matter is, here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible speaks of as alcohol is a mocker. A mocker is one, as you find, who makes fun of, who boasts of. Matter of fact, it makes you look like a fool. One who mocks you, one who makes fun of you, one who ridicules you, one that would even in Psalms chapter 1 and in verse 1, I'll read this to you. It's the same word. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The word scornful there is the same word as mocker. One who scorns, one who makes fun, one who boasts. And that's what wine will do. That's what the Bible says that wine will do. I just don't believe this evening that God will want us to partake of something that brings a mockery, that makes something of mockery of. And so we find already the truth concerning to the saved now is that this alcohol mocks. Number two, this alcohol is one who is raging. The Bible says strong drink is raging. The word raging there means roaring, it means commotion, it means noise, it means war, it means loud. We know what raging would be, the raging sea or the raging people. You'll find out of control with that. You'll find just a bunch of confusion with raging. And so we see and we know completely here that God, well, I don't think God in the way of truth would want us as His children, as His people, to partake of something that causes raging. Something that Ray tells us not to rage. He tells us not to be out of control. Not us to be in the place of war and commotion. And so now that this strong drink, alcohol, that's what it does. It brings raging. Thirdly, I want you to notice the truth about this verse is that alcohol deceives. Or the wine deceives or the strong drink deceives. We find that this word deceive means lead astray. It means to go astray. It means to entrap. It means to ravish. And so what the Bible is teaching to you and I, the way of truth today, to save to those that are born again is that this wine or this strong drink, alcohol, is whosoever is deceived thereby. In other words, if you partake of this, or if you have part of this, or if you bring this on to you or into you, if you drink a beer, a wine cooler, champagne, anything with alcohol in it, you'll find that it's going to lead you astray. It's already led you astray. It's going to bring ravishing upon you. It's going to bring a going into entrapment. And that's what it says, that this is what the Bible says of truth concerning alcohol. It also says, fourthly, that the Bible says that thereby is not wise. And we find that Jesus is wisdom of God. And why would you want to partake of something? Why would God allow us to partake of something that makes us unwise? Makes us of one that's opposite of Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. And today we think, well, we're going to partake of something that's going to make us unwise and that don't even make sense to me. Make us foolish or stupid is the word, or silly. The word unwise would mean. And so we are told in the scripture there in the Bible in Ephesians that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. And we find all through Proverbs to be wise and to be wise and to be wise. And now all of a sudden, this wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so the truth of the matter is that wine or alcohol is something that you and I, we just can't find a way. We can't just work it out. We can't just say it's okay. Not in this scripture. This scripture here tells us a completely opposite of who God is and what God would have us to be. And so that's the truth of the matter. I want you, there's a test now. I want you to notice the test. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, here's a test. How do we know it's a test? Because God asked some questions. And I know that in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, I don't notice any moderation in that, do you? When the Bible says that wine is mockery, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, where's the moderation in that? There's no moderation there. There's no little bit of that. You can't have any of that. Here's the same thought. Where is moderation in this test? It says in chapter 23 and there in verse 29, here's the test. Because there's questions asked here. Who hath woe? Now woe is something that you don't want to be part of. Woe is judgment. Woe is pain. Woe is suffering. You don't want woe. When somebody says woe, you better run. Because woes are not good. So we find woe. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? We know what that means. Who hath contention? We don't want none of that. Who hath babbling? Just babbling off the mouth. Who hath wounds without cause? Nobody wants to be part of that. We find who hath redness of eyes. Verse 30 gives us the answer to the test. They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. And so that's the answer to the question of this test. Who's going to have all of these things? Well, those who tarry long with the wine. So what's the answer? The answer is verse 31. He says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Where is moderation and look not? Where do you find taking a sip of beer? Where do you find getting home from work and getting to the corner and get you a glass of wine so that you can just relax and take it easy for the day when the Bible says, look not? Where is your opening? Where is your ability? Where's your liberty? Where is it that God says it's okay that you partake of a wine that's a mockery and strong drink that's raging, that you that are deceived is unwise? Where do you find it in this scripture, in this test, that you can partake of it and be right with God? You can't even look at it. You can't even look at it. And so if I'm it to be, why? Why is the question? Why can't I look at it? Because look at verse 32. It tells you why. Because at the last, in other words, when it's all said and done, not at the beginning, not at the first drink, not at the moderation, not at the first beer, not at the first margarita, not at the first whatever you may drink, not at the first, but at the last. at the end of the day, at the end of the festival, at the end of the party, at the end of the situation, at the end of the time, at the end of the drinking, this is what he says. It says this, and boy, I tell you, I hope we get this evening on this test. He says, there in that verse 30, 32, he says, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Can I say to you, who is attacking coming from? Who is an adder? And who is a serpent? The devil. The devil. So you look upon the moving of it. You look upon the redness of it. You look upon that part, and all you partake it. At the end of it, it's the devil is going to become attacking to you. It's the devil that will bite. It's the devil that will sting. The devil. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 in verse 33. Deuteronomy 32, verse 33. This is interesting. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 33. Well, let's read verse 31. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and their fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asp. Who are dragons? Who are asp? They're the same unto our text of Proverbs 23. They're the same as this. There in verse 32. A serpent and an adder. And what's going to bite you and what's going to sting you is not God. God tempteth no man. It's not going to be even your flesh. It's going to be the devil's attack upon you while you partake of this drink. I say to you, be careful. Number verse 33 says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Not shall the devil attack, but the flesh will arise. The flesh will arise to the heights of all time. The heights of everyone who would partake of this alcohol, it would bring you upon your eyes, behold strange women. That's exactly what happened to Eve in the garden. She saw the fruit. That it was good. It's the same thing that happened to David out there when he looked upon Bathsheba and what he saw was beautiful. It's the same thing with Achan and Ai when he looked upon the Babylonian garment and the silver and the wedge of gold and he took it. Friend, that's all it's about. Whenever you begin to receive of this alcohol, it begins to work into your life. It begins to work into your mind. It begins to work into your heart. And when does it begin? It begins at the very sip of that alcohol. It begins to run through your vein. It begins to run through your body. It begins to run through your heart. And as your heart begins to move forth, your eyes are looking upon people and others that you shouldn't look upon. And then your heart becomes very adulterous and it becomes very whoremongering. And as you look upon these women in that heart, you perverse, you say things that you shouldn't say. You say things that you wouldn't say. And you say things that you ought not to say, but you say them. Amen. So we find this wine and strong drink. We find that it is a flesh that arises. The more of the drink, the more of the rise. The more of the drink, the more of the looking. The more of the looking, the more of the saying. It just ends bad at the last. At the last. And then there's the world's appeal. Look here in verse 34 and verse 35. Yea, shalt thou be as one that lieth in the midst of the sea, and as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. That's just dumb. See, whenever you find yourself in this predicament because of partaking of this alcohol, it's like you lying in the midst of the sea or on the mast. You'll do dumb things. You'll do things that you might not even remember. You might do things that you're going to be ashamed of. You'll do things that somebody will bring to your attention and you will deny that you even did. You'll do dangerous things like lying to sea. You'll do dangerous things like being upon a mast of a ship. I mean, Fred, listen, that's what it was. You will do dumb things. You'll be part of a dumb way. Number two, you'll be numb. Look what it says. Verse 35. They have stricken me Thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. You was numb. See, whenever you take upon this alcohol, you become numb. You become numb. You become to the place where the Bible says that they have beaten me, and I felt it not. I mean, you'll go through some stuff. You'll go through some places and through some hardships. You'll go through some difficulties, and you'll not feel it. Now, you'll feel it the next day, but you won't feel it that day. And there's nothing at all that you'll do. Matter of fact, you'll feel like you're not even sick. That's what it said. They have stricken me, but I was not sick. I mean, I wasn't sick, but man, I tell you, I went through when I got up the next morning, man, my head was up in the toilet. I was throwing my guts up. I felt awful. I felt horrible. I'm looking for something to counteract this old hangover that I have. You know what? And I wasn't sick, and you know what? And nobody beat me up, but it sure feels like it. Yeah. And look what it says after that. It says, and when I shall awake, I will seek it yet again. Let me ask you a question in the way of test. Is that what God wants you to do? Is there anything in that? Is there anything in this test that would say to you, I don't want to go there? The only way that you don't go there, do not drink. If you go there, you will get there. Amen? So we find the test, we find the truth. He says, I will yet seek it again. This is what mankind will seek. Moderation is the answer to drunkenness. Can I show you thirdly now the testimony? The testimony. Go to Romans chapter 14. We read that this morning. We haven't got there yet, but we'll get there today. John chapter 14, verse 21. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 14. Verse 21. Has something to do with your testimony. The Bible says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything thereby thy brother stumbleth or offended or is made weak. It's about testimony. See, it's about others. It's about somebody else. It's about everybody else, but it's not about you. So this thing about this social drinking or drinking in moderation as a Christian is it's about you. You want to drink it because you like it, because you like the taste of it, you like the feeling of it. You like it because you're socially accepted. You like it because it defies everyone else. You like it because you're in charge. You like it because it's a flesh thing for you. But you know what? The Bible says eating and drinking is not about you. It's about somebody else. It's about a way of a testimony that you may offend or you may stumble or you may bring someone weak. And God's concerned with that. I want you to notice the warning of God. I'm talking about testimony now. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5 gives a warning of God. Talking about a testimony now, but God's going to give a warning concerning that, about alcohol. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, woe. Now there's a woe there, so that means something bad, something judgmental, something troubling. Now you ought to raise your ears up, you ought to mark it down, you ought to highlight it, you ought to circle it, whatever it is, and you don't want to be part of this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Those that call wine good, which wine is evil. Amen? There's a problem with that. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. Unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Pride, boastfulness, arrogance. Be careful of that. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength that mingle strong drink. Woe unto them that drink, are mighty to drink wine. Woe unto you that drink wine here. Woe unto you that have strong drink and you mingle it. Woe. Better be careful now. There's a woe to that. I said earlier, there's no Bible verse that says, thou shalt not drink wine. But here's a Bible verse here that says, pretty close. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. And men of strength to mingle strong drink. So now the men are mighty, the people that are mighty, the people that are priests, the people that are kings, the people that are dedicated and surrendered to God, do not drink. That's just a list. I want you to notice the warning of God, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk, which is in the prophets back there. You just keep on going to the right toward the beginning of the New Testament. And you'll come upon Jeremiah, then you'll come out through Lamentations and Ezekiel. You keep on going. You'll find Daniel, Amos, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Talking about testimony now. The Bible says, listen to this. This is a woe, another woe. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Wow. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. If you give anybody any alcohol, you are in judgment of God. At any time. At the beer joint, at your home, at your work, as a gift. Anytime. You give somebody, a neighbor, drink that putteth the bottle to him, maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. That's a warning of God. So if I'm the warning of God, woe unto you that drink that are mighty, woe unto you that give drink unto your neighbor. You better heed these warnings. I want you to notice the people of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's talk about Hannah for just a moment. Hannah for just a moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we preached through Samuel, and we're preaching through Samuel. We kind of got off, but we'll get back. But 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll talk about Hannah for just a moment. Hannah was praying to God that she would have a child, a man child. In verse 13 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now listen to what she says in verse 16. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Now who's a daughter of Belial? That Belial is a devil. Belial is a false god. And she's saying to Eli, Eli, don't count me as a daughter of Belial, thinking that I have drunk wine or strong drink. Now this is a testimony, the people of God. Hannah was a person who was after God's heart. She wanted to serve the Lord. She wanted to live for God. And she did. And what did she do? She did not drink wine nor strong drink. How about another one? How about Daniel? Turn to Daniel chapter 1. Right after Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 1. Or you just want to listen to it? You can. He said this. He was offered the king's meat and the king's wine. The Bible said in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Daniel, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, what's Daniel saying? He was of the brightest of that day. He was the smartest of that day. He was the highest of that day. There was a bunch of Israelites that got dropped off. Daniel was one of the top echelon of all Israelites. He was walking with God. He had another spirit within him. And you'll find that Daniel said, I will not defile myself with the king's wine. So he was a lover of God. He was a follower of God. And what was his decision? I have determined that I will not, am not, going not to take wine into my body and defile it. Friend, that's a testimony unto Daniel. And then he told him, he said, I tell you what, let me eat of this this water and drink of this water and eat of this this mesh that they have. For him, but I'm not going to eat of the king's meat and drink the king. And let's look 10 days later and who's better and who looks nicer or who's more beautiful or who's more healthier. And sure enough, 10 days later, guess who was? Daniel. So we find Daniel, testimony, did not drink. Hannah, testimony, did not drink. Aaron, the priest, in Leviticus 10, we talked about, testimony, did not drink. Proverbs 31, Kings, testimony, did not drink. Numbers chapter 6, the one who took the Nazarite vow, the one who was separated unto the Lord, did not drink. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and look in verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." What are we? We're kings. What are kings told to do? Not to drink wine. What are we? We're priests. What are priests told to do? Not drink wine. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us to be separated from the world, be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're to be separated unto God. And friend, we find, who? What are they supposed to do? Not drink wine. Wine is a drug. Wine is a narcotic. Wine is a depressant. Wine is an intoxicant. Do you think it pleases God if I drink a wine cooler? Do you think God will be pleased tonight if I go home and get me a Bud Light? Does it really please God and give glory unto the Lord if I go home tonight and I sit back and I get me some red wine and to kick back on my birthday celebration for 2 days now and to end it out with a bottle of wine? Do you think that pleases God? Could I say, God, no, I'm not asking if it displeases you. I'm just asking if it pleases you. Can you imagine that? I mean, there's so many beverages out here that taste good, so many beverages out here that has much more refreshment, so many beverages out there that bring so much help to the body, and you want to choose alcohol. And then you want to say, as long as I drink it in moderation, God's pleased with that. I can't find it. I don't see it in the Bible. We started in Genesis this morning. We're in Revelation right now. I can't find it at all, friend. You're going to have to drink over God's dead body and despise His bleeding Son in order to have a drink of alcohol and God be pleased with it. There's another one that I want to talk about a testimony, and we'll close. His name's Jesus. Now, we heard from the gainsayers that Jesus drank wine. That's what they say. They tell us also that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that didn't even know God, that Jesus was a gluttony and a wine bibber. That's the devil's crowd. How many here want to listen and agree with the devil's crowd? I think I just listened to God and His crowd. If you turn your Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 15, verse 23. Jesus comes to the point of His life where He's about to die. Now, if you can remember back in Proverbs chapter 31, Jesus would be the perfect candidate for that wine. Chapter 15 and verse 23. The Bible says, "And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." Ain't that something? This Jesus that you say drinks wine, he didn't drink it there. And yet, if you go to Proverbs chapter 21, and the mother of the mule, she said, "Hey, the people that you give drink to are those that are perishing." What's Jesus fixing to do? Perish. "You are to give to those who have heavy hearts." There ain't no heavy-hearted man than Jesus on the cross of Calvary. "You need to give to the one who's of poverty." Hey, the Bible says that Jesus was rich but became poor so that you and I can become rich. There's no more man on all the world than Jesus on the cross of poverty. And then the last, they say, to give to one who is in misery. And so if I'm, Jesus is a perfect candidate, according to Proverbs 31, to take the wine. But Jesus received it not. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus did not receive alcohol. And yet, I guarantee you, many others that were on that cross next to him, above him, beyond him, you know, we think it's a hill, and on that hill were three crosses. That's not the way it was. It was a foothill, and down that foothill was a bottom, and on that bottom was a bunch of crosses. Jesus was on one of them. So there was many crosses there. There was many bodies and many skulls and many bones laid out everywhere where the ravens and where the birds and other animals came and ate the flesh, because people wasn't buried whenever you die on the cross. You're at the cross because you're a criminal. You're at the cross because you're some horrible individual. You're at the cross because the world and society has done dissed you and rejected you, and you're no longer worthy of a burial. So we find there was great hurt and great, but Jesus said, I'll not take this alcohol. I'll not take that. I'll not drink that. I don't care how much pain I'm in. I don't care how much suffocating I'm doing on the cross. I don't care how much agony. I don't care how many sins I'm bearing. I don't care how hurt I am. I will not receive alcohol. Let me ask you a place. Let me ask you something. Is there ever a time in your life that you could say, I'll receive alcohol? When Jesus, in his state, said, I will not receive alcohol? God help us. God help us today. Oh, let me say this though. See, because Jesus was a king, Jesus was a priest, Jesus was separated unto God. That's why. Amen. John chapter 19. Turn there. There was another time when they came to Jesus and brought to him vinegar. Vinegar. He says, John chapter 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. He got thirsty. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and it was upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, he received the vinegar. He didn't receive the wine. Now, the vinegar here, they call it sour wine. You can call it that. But what happens is vinegar is wine that's now turned sour. It's lost all of its intoxicating. It's a secondary fermentation of vinegar, of alcohol. It turns into vinegar. You leave wine alone. If you take fruit, like grapes or whatever, and you leave it alone, it'll turn into formation. Then after that formation, it'll turn into vinegar. They call it sour. But there's no intoxicating with that. Matter of fact, during that day, it was a drinking that they called vinegar. They drunk that. Jesus drank the fruit of the vine. Look at chapter 14 of Mark. Go back to Mark chapter 14. Verse 25, he's here, he's doing the Lord's Supper, he's instituting it. He comes to the cup. He says, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine. So that's what Jesus was drinking during these Passovers. He said, I'll drink no more. In other words, that's what he drank in the past, but he'll not drink any more of the fruit of the vine. So what was Jesus drinking in the prior Passovers? Fruit of the vine. Not wine. So the command of the Lord in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, he says this. He says, don't drink wine. Don't drink alcohol. Because it might stumble your brother. It might stumble not the world, not the lost, not the unsaved. It may stumble a brother. It may bring a bring a place to the brother who will trip him up or strike at him. And so, from the way of testimony, the commandment of God to me is this: don't drink wine. Because you could trip up somebody else. Do I want to live my Christian life tripping up people? Do I want to live my Christian life causing somebody to be struck at? I mean, let me ask you a question, folks. I mean, really, I would say that if I heard of somebody telling me that you drank, that would stumble me. If you heard from somebody that I drank, or you seen on some social media of some type, you know, people always have pictures of everybody. You can't do anything without somebody knowing you're doing it. And you see Brother Larry with a beer in his hand. I mean, what would you do? You'll come back to church on Sunday morning and say, I can't wait to get to church. No, you say, I can't wait to get to him. We got something to talk about, friend. Right? So I don't want to entrap nobody. I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, I don't want to stumble nobody. I don't want to cause nobody to fall. Do you? Then how can I not do that? Easy, right? Do not drink. Okay, well, how about the next? Well, the next says you might offend your brother. Now, what's offense mean? Offense means that you might entice them to sin. In other words, if they see you drinking, then that's going to encourage them to drink. Right? Now let's think about this for just a moment. Here I am, I'm at down there at Papacitas, eating some old chicken fajitas with old chili con queso, and got that old pico de gallo, and you got them chips and tortillas and them onions and those peppers and I mean, you got it going on. You're down there, you know what, and you say, you know what, I think I'm just going to get me, I mean, I look around, they got them old long glasses, they're skinny, and they got all kinds of, looks like ice or something in. I don't know what's causing it, martini, something like that. Or maybe it's round and fat, I don't know. Anyway, so it's a big deal. So I say, yeah, give me one of them. So I'm over eating my fajitas, my chicken fajitas. And I'm drinking my martini, and you come in. Hey, Brother Larry. Sit down. Well, you look like you're drinking a martini. Yeah. I believe God's given me spiritual liberty, Christian liberty. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Drinking a martini won't send me to hell. I'm in good shape. Won't you get one too? Sure. Brother Larry, if you drink martinis, I'm going to drink them too. I mean, good night. I'll buy you one. So I'll buy you a martini. So you take out of there, and a month goes by, and you never drunk before, and all of a sudden the martinis taste pretty good. A month later goes by, and you're going by yourself now, not with Brother Larry. You done kicked me to the curb. Now you got some martinis, and you got some things going on. A year later, you call me and say, hey, brother, can you come visit me? What's wrong? I'm in a rehab. What are you in rehab for? Drinking. Oh, man. I can't believe that you got yourself in that situation. I can't believe you allow an alcohol beverage to take hold of you like that. Man, last time I talked to you, man, you was doing well. 2 years later, he lost his family, lost his job, back in rehab again. Where down the line do I begin to feel responsible that I would introduce to him an alcohol? 3 years later, he's lost everything he had and in rehab. Whose fault is that? Is it him Oh, I don't think so. If I'm a Christian, and I am, the Bible says for me not to drink that I may offend. I'm held with God. Now I got to give account to. I wonder, is that how we want to live our lives? Hey, let's go on down. You know the bums? You know the homeless? You know the people that are downtown right now around the stadium and underneath the freeways, and they're living in tents and boxes and cardboard, and they got very little to eat. But you know what most of them have, 95% of them have? What is it? Alcohol. Let's go win them to God. We'll take our six-pack. We'll go down there and get us a beer, and we'll sit down on the side and say, let's talk about Jesus while we drink beer. Tell me how that works. Sister, is it okay to tell me what you told me today? A recovering alcoholic of 17 years. March the 7th. So tonight at church in the fellowship hall, we're going to have a drink to celebrate that. Does that sound right? So she's out 17 years. I'm drinking in front of her. I'm offering her a drink. And now she goes back into her alcohol. She breaks that 17 years. Who's responsible? Me! Does this make sense, folks? Hope by the end of the day, you don't drink. Thirdly, he says that maybe you will make a brother weak. Make a brother weak. What does that mean to you and I? Well, that just means that make one unstable. Make them shaken up. In other words, one comes to you and says, hey, brother, I just got saved. I've been saved very long. And, man, listen, I think I know what the Bible says. I think I know what the Bible is saying. Could you come tell me what the Bible teach me the things of God? Okay, I'll come over to your house. And when I come over to your house, I'll bring a six-pack. Okay, brother, let's get into the Bible now. One time a guy told me if I smoked marijuana, I could see it in better and brighter picture of the gospel inside the Word of God. That's what I've been told. And so I never tried it, but I was been told. I see enough of it. I don't think I need the marijuana. The Holy Ghost of God is probably enough for me. That's the highest I want to get. But the fact of the matter is, now that he comes in, I bring the bottle of beer, or the case of beer, not the case, but the man, that's really drinking. I'm talking about just a six-pack, and we get down, we get into the Bible, and he says, man, you got beer, you drink beer. I thought Christians don't drink. And now he says, I don't even know what to believe. Really? I'm confused, man. I mean, I did all that kind of stuff before I was saved. And when I got saved, God put me a new heart, new mind, new thoughts. I mean, that kind of stuff was not even my mind anymore. And now you come over to my house and you tell me you're going to teach me the Bible with a beer? Man, I'm shaken up. I don't understand this. I'm confused. He meant testimony. We'll close on this last thought. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. And here's another, I guess, excuse to drink in moderation of alcohol. Jesus turned water into wine. They will throw that at you every single time. They'll throw that Romans chapter 14, which we just ate that up. And then we went to John chapter 2, where Jesus turned the water into wine. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that Jesus is without sin? And do you believe that Jesus is separated from sinners? Do you believe that this evening, that God, in the way of Jesus, would turn water into alcohol and tempting everyone at that wedding to drink the wine that is a mocker and strong drink that is raging, to that whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise? Do you think Jesus would do that to the people at that wedding? No! You kidding me? Do you think that Jesus would make alcohol that would bring to those people, that would cause the devil to sting them and to bite them? Do you think Jesus would do that? Do you think Jesus this morning would make an alcohol that they would partake of? That is something that John the Baptist would not partake of, that Hannah would not partake of, that the Daniel would not partake of, that priests don't partake of, that kings don't partake of, and Nazarites who are separated unto God would take of. Do you really think that Jesus would turn water into alcohol to put those people at that time into that desperate situation? You know what I believe? I believe that turned that water into wine was his first miracle. Right? The emphasis today is not on the wine. The emphasis is on the miracle. Jesus went about, God said this in Acts chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 2. He says this. He says that I have approved and I have brought forth acceptation of the anointing of Jesus Christ. By the way of what? By the way of miracles, by the way of wonders, and by the way of signs. Is that not true? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? By miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what teaches us in the Scripture. So all those wonders and all those signs and all of those miracles that he did was for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to manifest himself that he was the anointed and the appointed one from God. This miracle of turning water into wine was not about wine. It was about the miracle to prove to them how you can have 6 pots of water, and then when you take out of that pot and you put forth to the mouth of the king there, he tasted good wine. It wasn't about the wine, it was about the miracle. Now, secondly, let's read it. He says, and the third day, verse 1, third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called his disciples to the marriage. Now, wait just a moment now before we get in. If there's a marriage and it's got loud music and it's got drinking and it's got carousing, it's got revelings, it's got banquetings, it's got all that going on, do you think Jesus would go? People who do that don't even go to heaven. Do you think Jesus would go? No. That's simple. All right? And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Secondly, my thought is, if Jesus was drinking wine, why did it take his mother to tell him they have no wine? Don't you think he would know? Right? Just come questions, that's all. Jesus saith unto her, verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whosoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, who in the world is his mother? She's at another man and woman's marriage. Who put her in charge? Who told her that she is the one who's to replenish the wine? I mean, somehow, some way, she got in charge. And then she tells the servants, not of her servants, but the servants of somebody else, listen, whatever he says to you, you do it. Well, who are you, Mary? Well, if you think about it from the wine perspective, she's nothing. But if you look at it from the miracle perspective, she's everything. Right? Because she's telling the world whatever he says, do. All right, then he goes down and says in verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. What did they fill the water pots with? Water. He said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted what? What did he taste? The water. How come he didn't taste the wine? The water that was made wine. And knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the what? Water. Man, it's still water. What's happening here? And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He said unto him, Every man at the beginning of thus set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but that has kept the good wine until now. All right, so we see the word drunk there. Is that saying that these people were drunk, or did it say that they were well drunk? In other words, they drunk a lot. What is it saying? It's not saying they were drunk. It's saying they drunk a lot. Matter of fact, they drunk so much, they ran out. But when Jesus took the water, and when he turned that water into wine, it became good wine. And he was confused because he says, man, whenever you have wine, you usually put the good at first and the bad later, because when you drink so much, that's like eating, for example, if you eat five bowls of Captain Crunch. You know what Captain Crunch is? The cereal? Y'all like it? Captain Crunch? If you eat the first bowl of Captain Crunch, is it good? You eat five bowls of it, and when you eat the fifth bowl, it's not that good anymore. Is that true? I mean, when you bite into a rib, but after you eat the fifth rib, it just don't taste like the first rib. That's just the way things are, right? And so we find that now he said they're drinking the good wine when they're supposed to not be the good wine, because everybody's already drunk a lot, and so now it should be the worst wine or the cheap wine, but it didn't work out that way. It's the good wine. You know why? Because Jesus made the freshest grape juice ever to be made. Just like when we fed the 5,000, he didn't have to go home and bake the bread. Where did the bread come from? Boom, bread. He looked at the body, he looked at six things of water, he said, boom. Good. Friend, that's the way it works. There was no intoxicating in any of that. Don't let these liberal theologians or these stupid preachers tell you that there was intoxicating wine there. Nowhere in that whole thing says anything about getting drunk. And again, don't embarrass me, and then don't tell me that my Savior, my Lord, my God, my everything has then made an intoxicating wine that puts you in peril and tempt you to do evil. How dare you say that about my Lord? Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Question. Is it okay to drink alcohol in moderation? Be persuaded in your own mind. I've got my mind made up. I'd like to see you justify that before God on your judgment day. The Bible says every man should give an account of himself before God. It's appointed unto man once to die, then after this the judgment. You got to give an account today. But not only on your life, but on this word. We went all through the scripture today. There's not one place, not one time, was there ever a time when God said, you can drink alcohol just in moderation. It does not say that. This church, let me just say it like this. This church, as the pastor of this church, does not drink alcohol. This church does not allow alcohol drinking. This church will not advocate that. We stand against it. As long as I'm pastor, we'll always stand against it. Not because I don't like it, because I don't. Because the Word of God teaches contrary. Not just one verse, but several verses. The context of the Scripture, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. I pray you'll stay clean and clear of it. Now, church, you're going to get a lot of pressure if you make a stand like this to other people, co-workers or other church members. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to try to prove to you that Jesus drank wine and he made water into wine that's intoxicating. You stand your ground. You hold to the Scriptures. You stay to God. Stay pure and holy. May God bless you and bless this church.